this man Coniah, or Jeconiah as he is also called, and he is going to be plucked away from the Lord and given to those that seek his life, and cast into another country. And we read of this man that he was 36 years in prison in the land of Babylon, away from his throne, away from his palace, away from his own city and own country, a miserable captive. And that is what the word of the Lord is saying in this part of Scripture. And the Lord says in the midst of it all, in the midst of his words of judgment, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And the context is very much the word of the Lord on those who had godly upbringings but who cast off religion and lived worldly lives. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord, the word of judgment. Word that talks about how the Lord's long suffering may come to an end. And we may consider these words in three ways, or addressed to three classes of people, although there is overlap between all these classes. That we may think of, first of all, the earth is embracing all men, all nations. This is something here that was worth telling the world about. And then, secondly, we may consider it as addressing man as mortal. Mortal man. Because that is what we are. We are earthen creatures. Earthen. In our origins, we were made of the dust. And we are as under the curse of the law, returning to the dust. And then thirdly, we may take these words as addressed to worldly men who have nothing in their minds, nothing in their affections, but the things of time and sense, who are taken up with the things of the earth. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, firstly then, we may consider that the nations of the earth are being addressed. Here is something taking place in a corner of the world, in the land of Canaan, a small land. In particular, here is a prophecy concerning what the Lord would do with one man, Coniah. But yet, it is worth that the whole earth would hear about it. And that shows that the word of God is no ordinary word, no ordinary book. It is a living word. It is a word that is as alive today and as relevant today as ever it was when this prophecy was spoken against Jeconiah. Here is something that is worth the whole world hearing about. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. The whole earth ought to hear the word of the Lord, and we know that that is true in general. We think of the word of the Lord as embracing the whole of the Bible. Good it would be indeed that the earth at large would hear the word of the Lord. The earth in its kingdoms, in its nations, is to hear the word of the Lord, and that may be taken as one authority from the Bible, among others, why the Bible should be translated into the various languages of the earth. The Bible would be made accessible. The Bible was made not to be buried and hidden away, accessible to a few people. It is the word of God to the whole of the earth, of all nations. sent to parts of the earth that never heard the word of the Lord before. They have authority from God to do so. The missionaries that went out at the times especially of the beginning of the New Testament church, the likes of the Apostle Paul, who went to various heathen kingdoms that had long remained under the power of false religion, part of Satan's kingdom, and they went there and they had authority, and they had authority from God himself, whose earth it is, who is the God of heaven and earth, to address them and to say to them, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. That is what we find the Apostle Paul doing time and again, but we could take one example just now. When he went to Athens, and what did he do in Athens? Well, we find that he went there and went to a people who had never heard the gospel before, and he stood in a public place in Mars Hill where the men gathered, and he spoke to them about God. He said, I him declare I unto you, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Though you never heard it before, though you have your own customs, though you have your own religion, nevertheless, here is divine authority behind the apostles' words. Him declare I unto you. And who is he? He is God that made the world and all things therein. And so on. He described who this God was as the creator and the sustainer, who is a spirit. And then he says, the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hear the word of the Lord. This God commands all men everywhere to repent, showing that the word of God is addressed to all nations and to all men. Although in the Old Testament times, when Jeremiah was writing, it may well be that not many of the nations of the earth ever came to hear the word of the Lord. When the church was confined to one nation, although we do not know what might have been spread abroad, and when they were carried into captivity in Babylon, perhaps then other nations were hearing more of the word. But certainly, in the era in which we live, when the gospel has gone out to the nations of the world, this is being fulfilled. Earth, hear the word of the Lord. Divine authority, demanding attention. Germany, hear the word of the Lord. And Germany did hear the word of the Lord in the Reformation. Switzerland, hear the word of the Lord. They did hear it at the time of the Reformation. Oh, England and Scotland, hear the word of the Lord. And the inhabitants. And although it is addressed to all nations, no nation excluded, all the earth to hear, yet it is to individual sinners in these nations that the word of God comes, and it comes to yourself. You are included here. Earth, hear the word of the Lord. You in yourself, as one of the inhabitants of this earth, in the day in which you live, for this is a word which is altogether relevant to every single age of the history of the world. Earth, hear the word of the Lord. And not only hearing the word of the Lord in general, but this particular word of the Lord here, that, as I said, was spoken in a corner of the earth with regard to one man whom the world would know nothing about. Perhaps even in the Bible he is not very prominent. Jeconiah, would you have known that name? Would you have known that there was a man in the Bible who was called Jeconiah? And well, you are here. I've already mentioned a word about what the Lord will do by way of the judgment, the way of suffering coming to an end, and what the Lord will do with those who choose the way of sin and the way of worldliness, that he will eventually, if they are impenitent, even in this life at times, bring such judgments upon them. And what the Lord did with the nation of Israel, his own, even his chosen Israel, his own beloved people, who he took out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt. You would think surely he would not put them back into captivity, but that's the very thing that he was doing. Hear the word of the Lord, and know that God will not be mocked by a nation, by a church, or by an individual who have had privileges, who have had deliverances, who have had the gospel, who have had opportunities, but these opportunities being despised and these privileges being neglected, then the Lord eventually may bring this judgment and chastisement even in time. He cast them out of their own land. He took Jeconiah away from his own land, and until he was a miserable captive in a prison in a foreign land. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear that God is no respecter of persons. And that's what he was saying of Jeconiah, or Coniah, it's called here. Though he were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. He is speaking to him personally, yet the whole earth is to hear what the Lord said to Jeconiah. He was saying, though you were like the ring in the hand of a king, the signet ring with which he seals documents, the symbol of his authority, you would think that ring would be safe, that the king would not throw that ring away. That ring, as it were, had a privileged position. But he's saying to Jeconiah, such was his sin, that though he was in that exalted position, he would pluck him thence and cast him away. I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee. And that is part of the word of the Lord. We know there is more to the word of the Lord than that. There is the gospel. There is the glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. But we are not to forget this part of the word of the Lord, that the whole earth is to hear. And it is worth hearing, worth your hearing and giving attention to. Hear the word of the Lord, especially relevant to us who have privileges of the gospel, who have privileges, it may be, of godly parents or grandparents, and who set an example of godliness, who showed us how to walk, who brought us up with the Bible, who brought us up with a short catechism, it may be, who gave example in their own life of how we ought to live. But if we go astray from that, if we cast it off as these sons and grandsons of God that Josiah did, then hear the word of the Lord. Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, no prosperity, even in this life, no prosperity. Never mind what will be true of the world to come. No favor, no drop of cold water to cool the tongue. There's no prosperity in hell. That is what sin deserves. That is the essence, we may say, or part of the essence of the punishment of sin. There is no prosperity. There is existence, but no favor, no peace, no rest, no joy, nothing but endless torment and misery. Hear the word of the Lord. The whole earth. And the whole earth will hear the word of the Lord. The gospel is spread far already. It will spread further yet. Because all ends of the earth will remember and will return unto the Lord. All peoples of the nations to him shall homage do. They will come from the earth, from north, south, east, and west. And they will sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Jews and the Gentiles together. And that will yet be fulfilled. The earth exist in the nations that do not yet have the gospel and that have not yet turned to the Lord because this word will yet reach them. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. But secondly, we may consider these words as speaking to men, reminding them of their earthly origins. We mean naturally, because although it is true that the words here are addressed to the whole earth, perhaps other words could have been used to speak of the families of the earth, all nations. But it's the whole world is addressed under this description. O earth, 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 there is a name that God is giving to you. He is calling you earth. Not only that it's for all men across all nations, but there is special reference to this, we believe, and that we are earth. We do not just now mean in a spiritual sense, but we mean in a bodily, natural sense, because that is how God made man. God made man of the dust of the earth. That is what our bodies are. The original is the dust of the earth. And when we are called earth, it is a reminder to us how our bodies had a low origin. That is all that we are. That ought to humble us. That we are earthen. We are made of the dust of the earth. Even that would have been, that was true even of sinless man. He still had a low origin. We ought not to be proud. We are but finite creatures. We are earthen. Earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. And how much more that we consider that we as fallen creatures and sinful creatures are under the curse of God, which means that we are under this part of the curse, as was said to Adam, out of the ground thou wast taken, and unto it thou shalt return, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that this word to a fallen race is reminding us that we are mortal, and that we are mortal because of sin. We are dust. He remembers that we are dust. That's all that we are, as it were, now. It does not mean that we don't still have souls, but it means that our bodies are dying. Our bodies are frail. Our bodies are mortal. They are going to return to the dust. They are going to go to the grave. And every burial that you have seen and will see, if spared, is a reminder of that. That we are earth. Our bodies are put back into the earth. We were taken from the earth, and by reason of sin, as part of the wages of sin, which is death, we will return to the earth from whence we were taken. Our bodies will corrupt. They will return to the dust. Dust thou art, that to dust thou shalt return. And this is how God is addressing you and addressing man. He is saying, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. You who are on the earth. Like Abraham said, I have taken upon me, he said, to speak unto thee, who am but dust and ashes. That's all I am. I'm just dust. The dust of the earth. O sinner, God is speaking to you and speaking to you, reminding you of this, that you are of the earth and that you're returning to the earth. And you're to be called under this name, O earth, 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 in which includes a revelation to you and a reminder to you of what you are as a frail mortal creature under the curse of the law, under the displeasure of God, and because of that liable to all the miseries of this life and to death itself. What need of you hear the word of the Lord. Since you are returning to the dust, what need you have, friend, to hear the word of the Lord? says, all people and Gevir, all of the world that dwell. That's the first sense of our text. Earth, earth, earth. All people, all of the world that dwell. Both on high, both rich and poor, my mouth shall wisdom tell. All, young and old, middle aged, whatever race, whatever poverty, whatever intelligence, whatever position in life, all are addressed, all here today. If we bring it home to ourselves, are included. And what does the Lord say? He's saying, remind them of this, tell them this, hear the word of the Lord. None can redeem his brother, nor can he unto God for him sufficient ransom pay, that still he should forever live, and not corruption see. Remind them that they're not going to live forever. Hear the word of the Lord. Seeth that wise men die, and brutish fools also to perish, and the wealth when dead, to others they let go. But yet in honor shall not man abide continually, but passing hence may be compared unto the beasts that die. Earth, 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 I hear the word of the Lord. Like sheep they in the grave are laid, and death shall them devour, and in the morning upright men shall over them have power. Their beauty from their dwelling shall consume within the grave. For he shall carry nothing hence when death is days doth end, nor shall his glory after him into the grave descend. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord about your mortality. And what is the purpose of considering that? Considering that you are mortal, surely it is so you would hear the word of the Lord with regard to the provision that the Lord has made in the gospel for the salvation of your immortal soul, that you would come to find Christ so that when your body would return to the dust from whence it was taken, your soul would not go down to the lowest hell. That it would not be true of you. They to their father's race shall go. They never shall see light in outer darkness. But that you would go to the place where the Lamb is the glory thereof. Where there is no need of the sun, nor of the moon, nor of the stars. That you would go to be with Christ, which is far better. That is why the word of God is addressing you in this way as it does. God in providence speaks to you also, reminding you from time to time of your mortality, that you're only earth. You only need to look in the mirror, especially if you are older, to be reminded of your mortality, your gray hairs, speaking of this, that you're earth and earth and earth, and that you're returning to the grave, and that you're on your way to the great eternity, and that you can take nothing with you. Do not be living only for this present evil world, but see that you are treasured in heaven, so that you will look forward to this with the people of God, the day coming, the resurrection day, when the body that did return to the dust will arise, and will arise no longer a corruptible body. We have corruptible bodies, but at the resurrection, those who are united to Christ will have glorious bodies, incorruptible bodies, still of a physical nature, but gloriously changed and altered, strengthened and beautified in a way that will prepare the body to enjoy the glory of heaven, the exceeding weight of glory in heaven. Bodies with which the eyes will see the Lord, not only soul, though the eye of the soul will see the Lord immediately entering glory without the body in a spiritual revelation of him, yet the very eye of the body will see the Lord Jesus Christ. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Well, thirdly, we have this.
we may think that these words address partially to Jeconiah himself. Jeconiah is here being addressed. Oh, earth, hear the word of the Lord. And what was Jeconiah? Well, we've spoken a bit about that. What a worldly man he was. Verse 21, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyedst not my voice, yet prosperity. Like his fathers who wanted to build big palaces and live in them, wanted just to have what they would eat and what they would drink and wherewithal they shall be clothed. This has been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. He was a worldly man, and he was therefore just a lump, as it were, of earth, as some of the Puritans would use, and others, the description of the sinner, just an earthworm. The earthworm lives in the earth, it feeds in the earth. That's its habitat, and that is how we are spiritually and morally, as fallen. In this sense, that we live for the earth. It was a black mark that was written against some who once walked. But Paul said, now I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, hear the word of the Lord. Carnal men, with nothing but the carnal mind, and the carnal mind has only an appetite for what is earthly, including in that the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, the appetites and desires and lusts bound up with the body, thinking not at all about their souls. Oh, friend, that is how we all are. This is not something you're to put outside the walls of the church. I think that we're speaking just now about those who are perhaps irreligious people. Earth, 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 indeed they are. They are here the word of the Lord as well. But you are included. If you do not have a new heart, you're just a lump of earth. You're earthly. You cannot get your affections off the earth. Cannot get your desires off the earth. You cannot get your heart off the earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You're just taken up with that. What you will eat, what you will drink, wherewithal you will be clothed, what advancements you will make in earthly things, that you will have an earthly portion. You're thinking only of this earth, who only in this present life their part and portion have. Is that true of you? That all you're concerned about, if you're honest, is the part and portion that you will have in this life, and you are not thinking that you're on the way to eternity. You have no provision for eternity. You do not think of the Lord. You have no spiritual desires. You cannot rise in your heart, at least from time to time, to think on the Lord, to think about your soul, to have a concern about it. You do not meditate upon Him. Set your affections, he says, on things that are above, not on things that are beneath. Set your affections on things that are above, for Christ sitteth up on earth. Hear the word of the Lord. You cannot think on Christ. You see no beauty in Him that you should desire Him. Earth, that is what you are by nature. With all privileges, Jeconiah had Josiah. As a grandfather, he had that influence. He had that heritage. But he was just an earthworm. He just cared for this present world. He had no thought for the church. He had no thought for his soul. He had no thought of the Savior. No thought of eternity. Just like the rich man, who we may take to be one who was in the Savior had in mind in that parable, who would be within the visible church in the land of the Jews, but a rich man, the rich farmer, I mean, just now, the rich farmer, and all he was concerned about was that was so, he said,
take thine age for many years, build bigger barns. And it was said to him, thou fool, tonight thy sword shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be in which thou hast labored? And there was that rich man too, another one, taken to be in the visible church, along with Lazarus. He fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in fine linen. And Lazarus didn't have much of this world. But the rich man, all he had was this world. That was in this, remember, it was told to him when it was too late for him to do anything about the securing of eternal inheritance. It was told him in hell, regretting now that he had wasted his substance, regretting now that he had wasted his time. It was told to him, son, remember, that thou in thy life receivest thy good things. That was the only portion you had. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Earthly, though surrounded by the gospel, earthly, though you hear about Christ, earthly, though you know that there is a heaven and a hell, but yet you are earthly, you cannot rise above the earth. The wealth of the earth, the honor of the earth, the success of the earth, the entertainments of the earth. You're in these things as your element. Like Bunyan pictured in Pilgrim's Progress, the man in the place who had the muckrake, looking down all the time, breaking in the earth. A laborious existence, but that was all he was looking at, that was all he had eyes for, and above, though he did not see it, and one offering to him, a hand reaching down to him, a crown of glory, but he would rather break in the muck, and he would rather live in the earth than have the crown of glory, and that is how we are, oh, how carnal we are, and what delights we might soar to and reach even in this life, in contemplating the Lord, knowing a taste of his love. Never mind in the world to come, my life everlasting. But we are just living for the earth. Well, what a great marvel it is that the Lord is speaking to such. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Oh, well, you would have thought speaking to such lumps of clay. You'd have thought that the Lord would not have anything to say, perhaps, to those who were like Jeconiah, who had rejected him and who were living for the world. But the work of God does. Oh, what a marvel it is, friend, that the Lord is speaking to you and to me, earthly and carnal though we are. And indeed it addresses us as earthly. That's the title given to us. Oh, earth, earth, earth. There's no flattery here. Carnally-minded sinner. Earthly-minded sinner. God is speaking to you. Hear the word of the Lord. It's just like you had in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the dry bones addressed. And what was the prophet to say to the dry bones? He was to say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm calling you dry bones. I address you as that name, dry bones. In other words, spiritually dead sinner. That's what God is calling you. And this is an instructive title. O earth, earth, earth. Understand that this is how God sees you and God knows you to be, but yet he is speaking to you. It's on mercy's ground that Jeremiah has been used just now to speak to Jeconiah. When he spoke these words, Coniah was still alive, but if he was not yet born, he was to read these words. These words come to Jeconiah's ears in the room of mercy. And so does the word of the hear the word, Lord. But to sinners like yourself, carnal though you are, despising your upbringing though you are, on the verge of being cast out into misery though you are, the Lord is speaking to you and saying to you, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What grace is in that? What mercy is in that? That the Lord addresses such as we are. And there is no difference. Any who were ever made to be spiritually minded were once as carnal and as spiritually dead as any others. There is no ground for boasting. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are earthly by nature. Hear the word of the Lord. And as with the dry bones who think that was pointless, calling on dry bones who could not hear, to hear the word of the Lord. So you might think, just going by human reason, what point is there? But the Lord would speak through Jeremiah's and through gospel ministers in New Testament times to those who are so earthly that they have no delight, no appetite for the word of the Lord. But the Lord has joined the two together. It's as sinners. It's as those who hate the Lord. It's as ungodly that you are addressed. And that is what the duty of the church is. It is to address you as sinners, to tell you that you are sinners, to tell you that you are on your way to a lost eternity. But to show you that there is this, that God is speaking to you in order that you would turn, in order that you would repent. Earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. Jeconiah, the Lord is saying, hear the word of the Lord. Hear about the judgment I will bring in you. Hear about the misery that will be your portion. Hear that. Hear that it is a bitter and evil thing to depart from the living God, and that often, even in this life, he will bring you to a portion of misery, not to mention the flame of hell forever. But the word of the Lord in this book of Jeremiah alone, as well as throughout the scripture, is a book that speaks of the gospel. That's part of the word of the Lord that you were called on to hear. The Lord was telling them what he would do, telling them what he would do to backsliding Israel in a way of mercy. For example, in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, we read the Lord addressing his backsliding people. He says, how long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. And he goes on to say that they would dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And he goes on to say that the days would come, at verse 31, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He was going to do this. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. And they shall be my people, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, it is instructive when we look at the history of what did happen to this man, Coniah. Yes, for 36 years he lay a captive in the prison. But then we read about him under the name of Jehoiakim, which is just the same man. In
2 Kings in chapter 25 and at verse 27, where we read, "And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life." Now we do not know, but could it have been that Jeconiah repented? The Lord certainly changed his dealings with him in providence. Perhaps he remembered that this word of the Lord that was addressed to him in his worldly, careless, godless state. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. He heard the mercy's ground. And whatever was true, it was surely coming to him, and all that then he would repent and turn to the Lord. And that is what the Lord is able to do to us. Yes, hear the word of the Lord. You'll have misery because of your sin and your forsaking of your privileges. But yet, if you repent, the Lord's prayer will do to us spiritually what this heathen king of Babylon did naturally. He will lift up your head out of prison. From prison bring my soul, that the psalmist said, that I thy name may glorify. He will take you out of Satan's kingdom. He will take you out of darkness. He will take you out of the bondage that you are in to sin. He will speak kindly to you. He will change your prison garments. He will clothe you with the righteousness of Christ. He will give you a provision for the necessity of your spiritual life. You will eat bread continually before him all the days of your life. The Lord, in addressing sinners, is doing so in order that they would turn, that they would consider their ways. And there is one case recorded in the history of the church in Scotland, in the Highlands of Scotland, of a carnal, a young woman called Marion MacLeod, from a place called Elphin. And she went on one occasion in a careless, earthly state to the prayer meeting that was being held in a house. And she went, showing how earthly she was in her vain dress, desiring to draw attention to herself. And a godly woman in that prayer meeting was grieved at seeing her. And these words came to that godly woman's mind: "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And there was a catechist taking that prayer meeting called Donald Mackenzie. And when he saw the same young earthly woman come in, the very words that had come to the mind of the godly old lady came to his own mind with force, so much so that though he was reading Psalm 45, he stopped and looked at the woman, the young woman, as she walked in, and uttered aloud these words: "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And these words went like an arrow to that young woman's soul, so much so that she had to be carried out of the church. And when she was taken home, she went to her bed and she said, "From henceforth, nothing will do for me but to have the presence of the Lord in the land of the living." And although she was for 7 years in difficulty of soul, the time came when her deliverance drew near. And on a sermon preached in these words, "There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus," as she said herself, bonds fell off her that day, with which she would never be bound, either in time or eternity. You see, that is what the Lord has in store, that we
we may say, is the intention of the gospel. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. That you would hear it, that your head and your soul would live. That is the thrust of it. That is the aim of it. Perhaps Jack and I heard. We do not know. We would not wish to speculate. But certainly the Lord changed his dealings with him in providence and showed him mercy. And he is now able to show you mercy. And the wonder is that he can make an earthly minded sinner to be spiritually minded. Think of the woman of Samaria. What she and earth, 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 through and through, nothing but the world and its pleasures. But the Lord dealt with her himself in such a way that he put the well of living water in her soul. He gave her a spiritual mind, in other words. He gave her a principle of spiritual life. She was free from being earthly. And that is one evidence that a saving work has taken place in any. There is spiritual life now. And although at times the believer has to say, my soul to dust cleaves, quicken me. My soul cleaves to the dust. I mourn that I have so much of this earthly mindedness about me still. How little I have my affection set on things above. But their desire is this, quicken me. Put spiritual life in my soul. Revive thy grace in my soul. That I would be weak from the world, that I would not be left to go back to living only for this present evil world. And the Savior did the same with Zacchaeus. What was Zacchaeus but earth? Oh, earth, 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 I hear the word of the Lord. A rich man, a dishonest man, despised